Our Father, it's such a privilege to come to you, to be able to speak to you, to be able to ask you for guidance and know that you hear us. Father, we know that you could split the sky open and that you could give us the answer to our questions, but that's not the way you want to do it. You want us to take your word, the Holy Bible, and you want us to open it up, and you want to use your Holy Spirit to guide, because you want us to knock. And when we knock, we know that you will open it up to us. So, Father, we ask you for your Holy Spirit tonight to answer this very, very important question as to who Jehovah's Witnesses really are. Are they your true prophets? If they are, we should follow them. But if they're not, then we should flee. We should not follow them. And we should warn others about them. We ask all these things in the blood of your beloved Son and our Redeemer, Christ Jesus. The message tonight, and how you understand it, and how you use God's book, could mean life to you, or it could mean death. Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door. They're very serious people. They get up early in the morning, wash their face and comb their hair and brush their teeth, and they knock on your door thinking that they are speaking for God, because they really believe that they're representing God's prophets here on the earth. And when they come to your door, it's a message of life, or it's a message of death, depending on how you receive it. And so sometimes they might even shake the dust off their feet if you treat them rough. For fear of not letting them say that we're misrepresenting them, we want to go right to their magazines and read it directly. Jehovah's Witnesses claim to be God's prophets. In the cover of the inside cover of the watchtower, it says, "A watchtower enables a person to see far into the distance and announce to others what is coming." Can a magazine serve similarly in our day? Yes. From its first issue, July 1879 onward, the Watchtower, published by Jehovah's Witnesses, has done just that. Inside the Watchtower, April 1st, 1972, it says, "There is a real need for someone to speak as a true representative of God." So, does Jehovah have a prophet to help them, to warn them of dangers, to declare things to come? These questions can be answered in the affirmative. Now, who is this prophet? This prophet was not one man. Could hardly be one man, because they've been in existence since 1874, so he'd probably be dead today. But at first it was one man, their first president. But now it was a body of men and women It was a small group of footstep followers of Jesus Christ. Not footstep followers of Pastor Russell or the Watchtower, but of Jesus Christ, known at that time as International Bible Students. Today, they are known as Jehovah's Christian Witnesses. And in the last year, they've been slipping in the word in between Jehovah and Witnesses, another word, Jehovah's Christian Witnesses. Now, how can we, when they come to our door and tell us that they're speaking for God, know whether they really are from God? Well, if you were here last week, we gave you a few scriptures, and you probably have a sheet with the scriptures on them that Calvary Chapel printed for you. The first scripture it mentions is the one recorded at Deuteronomy 18th chapter and the 21st verse. This is a scripture that all down through history God has used to protect us from false prophets. This is so sacred, so sincere, so important that we go right to our heart. And that's how the 21st verse starts out. If you say in your heart, how may we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name, the word name, last week we learned in Acts 4:7 means power or authority. When a prophet speaks in the name or authority of the Lord, if the word does not come true or come to pass, that is the word that the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and listen to the next sentence, because it's especially important for Jehovah's Witnesses. You need not be afraid of them. If you are a Jehovah's Witness, and you really believe this, then this scripture should be very, very precious to you, because this is the touchstone whereby you will be able to set your mind free as to whether Jehovah's Witnesses are really speaking for God. All we need to know now is, have Jehovah's Witnesses ever said anything that didn't happen? And that same list that we had given to us lists a number of false prophecies. One of the first was written in 1889 on page 101 in this book. There are many other prophecies, but in this book, the one we picked out was the battle of the great day of God Almighty, which will end in A.D. 1914. Now, has anyone seen the battle of Armageddon, the one spoken of in Revelation 16:14, happen? That's all you need, don't you? Because a prophet of God cannot even make one false prophecy. A prophet of God has to have a 1,000 batting average. Otherwise, he would not be dependable. Can you show me any prophecy made by a true representative of God in the scriptures that has not come true. If you can show me a prophet who spoke for God in a prophecy and it did not come true, I'll show you a false prophet. Because that's what he would be. I wish that 25 years ago, somebody would have handed me that sheet of paper. I would have given you, well, whatever I had that you wanted. Because that was the most important question in my mind. I was taught from childhood, this is God's theocratic organization. It is God's channel of communication. It is the faithful and wise servant. We are the ones who are to provide spiritual food, meat in due season. And boy, how I wanted to check it out. And every time I would look for a book, I would find the second edition, not the first. I went to the Watchtower Library. And when somebody said, didn't you predict the end of the world? And I says, no. How do you know? I checked with my father. I checked with the president of Jehovah's Witnesses. I checked with the editorial department. I checked with the books myself. And it said, the world's going to end sometime after 1914. Well, this book says before. Now, before 1914 makes it a prophecy, but after 1914, that can be any time. That's why this sheet of paper that you have, to me, is so precious. It took about 100 years just to get the information that's on it. And with this sheet of paper and with the scriptures and with God's Holy Spirit, we can use the Bible as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we can avoid destruction. What do Jehovah's Witnesses say when you accuse them of being false prophets? Oh, they say, well, we never said we were inspired. They only said that all their information, and I'm reading from the Watchtower, just so that I could not be accused of misrepresenting. That's the Watchtower, January 1st, 1938. All this information came not from or by man, but by the Lord God, given to his people gathered under Christ at the temple, and these things learned by them in the secret place. Did you ever remember reading in Matthew the 24th chapter about the secret place? Information that you get in the secret place? And they're saying this came from the secret place. Now, go out and tell it from the housetops, publicly. We never said we were inspired. On one hand, it didn't come from man or by man, it came from God, and on the other hand, we're not inspired. In their publications, on page 46 in the book Jehovah's Witnesses and Divine Purpose, it says that the teaching that comes from God's organization is divinely provided light upon God's Word. And Pastor Russell said, you cannot get divine light without his books. Even with the Bible, you could get divine light with his books alone, but you could not get it with the Bible alone. Everything we say here is probably going to be heard by the President of Jehovah's Witnesses in a few days. Tape recordings of things we say on television, get to them in a few days. And in a few weeks or maybe a month, you see an answer in one of their magazines. And it's interesting. We accuse them of being Jehovah's Witnesses, we accuse them of being false prophets, and immediately you get an answer. And I was waiting for this. I just couldn't imagine how they can answer. The only way I can imagine that they could answer is say, we didn't write that book. Or they'd have to say, we didn't write this one. Because if you got it from God, and if you're God's prophet, and if you made prophecies in His name, there's only one way you can get out of it. You didn't write it on water or on ice. You wrote it in a book that we can now read. It's 100 years old. I bet you're waiting for the answer. Does this admission... They read an article on admitting they made mistakes. Well, that's nice. Does this admission of making mistakes stamp them as false prophets? Not at all. Why? Now, this is right from the Watchtower, God's theocratic organization. Theo meaning God, cratic meaning government, God-ruled organization. Not at all. For false prophets do not admit to making mistakes. I didn't know they even had to. The only way that Jehovah's Witnesses, as far as I'm concerned, can successfully answer this charge that the Scriptures tell us how to test them is by saying that this was not printed by the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, and that their predictions were not printed by them, and then another recantation saying that we are not God's prophets. Now, they didn't become God's prophets in April 72. They didn't become God's prophets in 1950. They became God's prophets. When? I think this is good to remember. Now, this is in 1917, the Watchtower on page 22. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is the greatest corporation in the world. It's kind of bragging. I would think it's bragging. Because from the time of its organization until now, okay, right from its beginning, it was God's organization. That's important, because sometimes when you're talking to Jehovah's Witnesses, well, we didn't understand things too clearly back there. Why are you digging up all those old things? We'll say, well, from the time of the first publication of your magazines, from its organization, you became God's prophet. That's why that sentence is important. Until now, the Lord has used it, that is His organization, as His channel to make things known. And this, in 1960, Watchtower 7, July 15, said is the sole collective channel for the flow of biblical truth to men on earth. There is no other source of truth than from Jehovah's Witnesses. And that's why they're so afraid to come in here. That's why they're so afraid to come to any Christian church. And that's why they won't pray with you. And that's why if you ask them to hold hands, or don't even hold hands, just pray, they'll leave the room. I often think of the two men. One of them righteous. One of them doing all the right things and praying to God with lots of words. And the other one who smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said that the sinner who smote his breast and humbly said, be merciful to me, his prayer was heard. But Jehovah's Witnesses don't think you pray to the true God. They say you are of Babylon. Get out of her, my people. And so if there are any here tonight, they're merely listening. They're not praying with you, because they think that you are serving your father, the devil. Someone said the other night when I was here, why do you pick on Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, next thing you know, you're going to be picking on the Baptists and the Catholics and the everybody else. Boy, what's the idea of picking on Jehovah's Witnesses? We are not picking on Jehovah's Witnesses as individuals. In fact, we love Jehovah's Witnesses. We've invited them. We'd do everything possible to get them here. And if we're saying something wrong about them, we want you here to tell us. What are we saying? How are we misquoting you? In fact, we have equipment that if you won't come here, or if it's against your religious susceptibilities to walk into Calvary Chapel, we have a tape recording and we'll bring it right to your house. And you can pick them up and take the information to them. First Corinthians, the second chapter in the 15th verse, says that the spiritual man judges everything. But we are not judging individuals. We're not even judging N.H. Knorr or his buddy Freddie Franz or any of the other buddies that are predicting and predicting and predicting and always coming short. We are merely judging what Jesus told us to judge, the fruit of the prophet. And we want to know if this fruit, the product of this one who claims to be a prophet, is really from God. So we're not judging any Jehovah's Witness. Not one. We just want to judge the fruit. We want to see if your fruit is really from God. And if it is, we want some. And if it isn't, we want to shun it away. And it's the responsibility, as Peter writes, and as James writes, of the pastor of a congregation to point up the dangerous way to go. To point up the wrong way to go. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because I went all the way down this road. I went all the way down to the end, and I found it's a dead end, and all I'm doing is coming up here, standing on the way to life, and I've got a sign that says, don't go down here, it's a dead end. Now how can we get this information? to a Jehovah's Witness. It's not too hard to get it to you, a Christian, because you'll take the word, you'll study it, you've got the copies of the false prophecies, and it's not too hard to judge. Because they said the world was going to end in 1914, it didn't. Well, then they postponed it to 1980, and it didn't. But the president died in the meantime, so the new president now postponed it to 1925. And he said that Armageddon was going to come in the spring of 1925, and that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Daniel, and all these men would be here on the earth. Has anybody seen any? I would sure like to see David in his red hair. And I'd like to see Samuel, because he was dedicated, as many children here are every Sunday, to the Lord. And wouldn't it be something to talk to Abraham? And I want to say something that might surprise any Jehovah's Witnesses that are here. Abraham talked to Jehovah. If you don't believe it, open up the scriptures to Genesis 18th chapter, and there's three men in Abraham is over 100 years old, and he runs and he says, stay here a while. Don't go by my door without stopping. I want to wash your feet. And one of them was Jehovah and two angels. And he says, Sarah, get some bread made. Get some bread. And then he ran over. He ran. Notice how excited he was. Jehovah's there. And he told his servant, go kill the fattest calf you got. And pretty soon they brought in the food. And Abraham started to talk to Jehovah. Can you imagine? And then Jehovah said to him, I'm going to come by here in the springtime, and you're going to have a child. Sarah's going to have a child. And Sarah was inside the tent, and she heard it, and she laughed within herself, not out loud. And Jehovah said, why are you laughing? Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Read it. Jehovah said, why are you laughing? And then Jehovah said he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, if you ever heard the expression, to Jew him down, Abraham proceeds to Jew Jehovah down. He says, Jehovah, are you going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if there's 50 righteous people? He says, no. Jehovah, how about 45? No, there's 45 people. And he got them down to 10. And he walked away. But the other two angels already went down to see Lot. So you might surprise a Jehovah's Witness who, when you ask him, has anybody ever seen you? Oh, no, that's God. Nobody can see God and live. But how come they saw Jehovah? Talked to him, washed his feet, fed him, and argued with him. And then in the next verse, Jehovah from heaven rains down Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone. And then he said something, the angel said something to Lot's wife. And I remember that so clearly because this same one, Jehovah, whom we know as Jesus, said something to us in Luke 21:8. He said, look out that you're not misled, because many are going to come in my name saying, I am. And they're going to say, the time is at hand. Do not follow them. And that's just as sacred. That's just as important as the command to Lot's wife, don't turn around. How do we get this Did you ever talk to a Jehovah's Witness? It's like everything you say just rolls right off them like water off a duck's back. Well, how can you ever help a Jehovah's Witness? A minister said not too long ago, and a lady tried it. He must have talked to a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses because he told her, why don't you have a flat near the door, front door, have it in the window, and when they come to you, you just get the old flag out and stick it in the front door and say, salute that and I'll buy anything you have. So the lady bought a flag and she was waiting and waiting, and here comes a lady with a briefcase up the sidewalk, and she opened the door and put the flag in front of her and said, salute the flag and I'll buy anything you have. And she says, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And she had to buy all her Avon products. I'd like to tell you that I am a witness to the fact that it can be done. Jehovah's Witnesses can come to Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses are very sincere. Jehovah's Witnesses really believe God's book. They want to. Jesus told us that there would be foolish virgins. And if they are virgins, but they're foolish. And maybe if we as Christians can point up some things to them, we can help them. And then let God do the judging. We have living examples with us here tonight. There are about a half a dozen that I know of. Is Beverly Swanson here? She's here somewhere, I know. There she is. I'd like to tell you about that young girl. It wasn't very long ago that her husband, with a long face, I could tell over the phone, called me and he said, you know what? My wife is a Jehovah's Witness. And I heard about you and I thought maybe you could help. I said, well, I wonder how the Lord will work in this case. And so he said, well, how could you get into my house? And I said, well, I sell stocks and bonds. Maybe we can sell some stocks and bonds up there. Or analyze your insurance policy or do something like that. And I went there to Jack Swanson's house and Beverly's house. And Beverly was a sincere Christian. She really loved the Lord. And she was a Jehovah's Witness. And when I came in, I could feel how cold she was toward me. In fact, she turned her back. And she says, what are you doing in our house? And I said, well, I was invited by your husband. She says, well, I want you to know you're not welcome. You're trying to convert me out of Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, I hated to use theocratic tact. But I tried to talk to Beverly, asked her some questions, and I talked to a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, and it was really tough. Beverly was very, very sure that Jehovah's Witnesses are right. And in fact, she made it very plain to me that I didn't help her, and if anything, I stumbled her more. She was sure after I left that Jehovah's Witnesses were right than before I came. And so that proved to me that the Lord doesn't need me. But there was a neighbor that lived next door to her, and they exchanged eggs or bought eggs. And she started a Christian. born again Christian. And she started to talk to Beverly little by little. And what do you know? Jack, her husband, called me up and says, "Praise the Lord! Something's happening! My neighbor is talking to my wife! And she's listening! She didn't listen to you!" And you know what? She's a born-again Christian today. She was at Melody Land and was baptized, and we saw her. And tomorrow, she's going to be on TV, Channel 40. And you can hear her testimony. So it can be done. And you know who's going to do it? The Lord. And He's going to do it His way and in His time. And He knows the ones that really are His sheep. In the last 25 years, Professor Gruss told me that 2.5 million Jehovah's Witnesses were baptized. But there's only about 1.8 million in existence, according to their own records. So what happened to the other million? It can be done. There are more ex-Jehovah's Witnesses than there are Jehovah's Witnesses. In fact, one of their vice presidents left. Can you imagine a vice president of the world headquarters of God's theocratic organization leaving? The one getting information directly from God? The editor of the Awake magazine left the Watchtower headquarters. And you know, after a long time arguing with him, today he doesn't believe that it's against God's law to take a blood transfusion. The editor of the Awake. The only thing that's disappointing to me is that these hundreds and thousands of ex-Jehovah's Witnesses are so calloused now. They've been so badly burnt. They were so sure that this was God's organization that when they leave, they wonder if there really is any truth anywhere at all. They wonder if there really is a God. And some of them even leave the Bible. And many of them say, "Well, we found out it's wrong," and let the rest find out for themselves. And that's what makes my heart heavy. But you know, so many Jehovah's Witnesses that have left, and some of them are members of this congregation, are just the opposite. One came by my office the other day and he said, "Would you make me 6 copies of this letter, and I want to send them to all my Jehovah's Witness friends. And before you copy them, I want you to see if I said everything right." There's young couples here that traveled to San Diego. Brother Harrison, Brother Van Busker, and Bob and Gretchen. They introduced me to Calvary Chapel. Introduced me to Brother Gruss, who's writing books. These young people met some Jehovah's Witnesses at Dodger Stadium, and the lady said, "Well, I'll even San Diego." That's no problem. Just get in a car and they drive down to San Diego and they spend the whole day with them, whole evening with them, and they give them dinner, and they just couldn't believe it. He said, "By the way, what organization pays you to come down here to convert us?" Calvary Chapel printed those false prophecies for you free and handed it out to everybody. Chuck Smith didn't promise me a penny. And if he did, I wouldn't take it. I get nothing. I better not say that. I get no money. If one of you leave Jehovah's Witnesses, there is nothing monetary about it. There's just a tremendous pleasure of doing what I feel is a very heavy responsibility to tell you so that you may be protected from false prophets and to help those poor Jehovah's Witnesses who are now killing their children. There's a family, and I wish you would pray for them, of Jehovah's Witnesses here from Ohio. And their child has a leg that's swollen up about twice its size, and it's cancer. And they're running away because the surgeon said the leg must be removed. They stayed in the home of these Christians who are sitting here in the front row. And then they ran away to a motel. And they're giving their child Leotrol. And they're afraid to have the leg removed just in case the doctors might decide to give it a blood transfusion. And they would rather see the child die without removing the leg than to see it get medical treatment. And I would ask you to pray for this couple specifically, that they would come and that the elders pray over the child. And it may be, if the Lord sees fit, that a child be healed, so that these people would know that there is a true God living and that He can heal. And He didn't just heal back there in the days of the apostles, because I myself, with my own eyes in the last few months, have seen healings, and I've always wanted all my life to see one. And I would exchange all of the years that I have right now for the 3.5 years that I could have spent with Jesus and watch Him walk up to the bier and touch the dead corpse and it would raise up. I said, boy, that's the kind of minister I would like to see at my funeral. Anybody's funeral. Okay, let's get to it. How do you witness to a witness? We must get down to a serious base with Jehovah's Witnesses. We know they must be serious. We must assume that they're serious. And we must get down to this basis. But yet, what should be our mental attitude? Jehovah's Witnesses are Gnostics. Do you know what Gnostics are? The opposite to agnostics. Agnostic says, I don't know. But a Gnostic says, boy, do I know. He knows everything, because he got it from God. Jehovah's Witnesses are Gnostics. They know it all. They are God's representatives, and they're sincere about it. But there is a weakness in the whole structure, and that is that they believe God's Word, the Bible. The stronger that they believe God's Word, the easier it is for you to present the good news. Now, if they're God's representatives, speaking for God, just as if it was God, you couldn't tell God anything, could you? There's nothing you could tell him to enlighten him. And that's why you can't tell a Jehovah's Witness anything at the door, because he's a representative of God. And how can you, from Calvary Chapel, and you got long hair maybe, and you've got a beard, and you're going to tell me something that I don't know? I got it from God. Now see what's in their mind? Now, Jehovah's Witness won't come up to your door and say, look, I'm God's representative. He uses theocratic tact. He says, how would you like to live forever in God's new world? And you know that God's kingdom was set up in 1914? And here's how you prove it. Jerusalem was destroyed in 607 B.C. There's 3,360 days to a time. There's seven times. That's 2,580. Now, a time is equal to a year. A day is equal to a year. And that makes 2,520 years. And you add that to 607 B.C., and you've got 1914. God's kingdom was established. That's the good news. That's the gospel of Jehovah's Witnesses. That the kingdom was established in 1914. That's the gospel. If you can't tell God anything, what can you do? You can ask him questions. Boy, if God or God's representative, a true representative of God, came to my door, I've got a whole list of questions. Why not ask God's representative? And the first question I would ask him when he'd knock on my door, and he said, I'm representing the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, I'm bringing you good news to the kingdom. I said, boy, am I glad I've been waiting for you to come by. Why don't you come right in? You're a representative of God. I would like to know if you, personally, you believe that Jehovah's Witnesses are God's prophets. You know what he's going to say? Well, not the way you put it. Now, wait a minute. It's not how I put it. I want to know you. I don't want to know anybody else. I want to know, do you believe that this is God's organization, that you are representing God, the faithful and wise servant, God's channel of communication, the sole source of truth? I want to know if you are the watchtower or the remnant of the 144,000 are God's prophet. Well, don't well, yes or no. If he says no, say your magazine says you are. Now let it all hang out. Are you or aren't you a representative, only true representative of God? Now he's going to try pull theocratic tact on you. He's going to slip and slide, and you can't let him do that. Just don't go to another question until you find out if he believes this is God's theocratic organization. And when he says yes, you can just relax. And then say, did you check out to find out through the scriptures whether this is God's prophet? Oh, yes. Did you? What scripture did you use? Could you show me the scripture or the scriptures that you used to check out? Well, we have love among our brothers. You're the only ones that have love. I want to tell you about this love. When there's an earthquake, Jehovah's Witnesses send food, but only to Jehovah's Witnesses. they don't contribute to any other organization and they're told not to. Just take care of your own brothers. They say, but we don't go to war. Did you ever see Jehovah's Witnesses in the United States fight Jehovah's Witnesses in Germany? And that proves we're God's prophets. Did you ever see Baptists in the United States fight Baptists in Europe? Or Catholics in the United States fight? See, that proves that we have love, but everybody else doesn't have love. And you can say, greater love has no man than the one who gives his life for another. Do you know what the Baptists and other Christians died to free Jehovah's Witnesses who were all in concentration camps in Germany? Christians died that you could be free. The first thing General Eisenhower did, and his mother and father were Jehovah's Witnesses, was to free Jehovah's Witnesses from concentration camps. The reason Jehovah's Witnesses were in concentration camps was because their president, Judge Rutherford, told them, don't hail Hitler. In fact, don't hail any man. And if they put you in the firing squad, and if you're the other sheet, in those days they called them Jonadabs, you're not going to die. The bullet will stop right here. And you know that 2,000 were shot and never got back to tell the others the bullet doesn't stop. Until 5 of them were studying their daily text and they refused to take shelter when the RAF dropped the bomb and exploded the 5. And you know what? That changed the religion of Jehovah's Witnesses in Germany. They did not have special protection.